Going back to the epistle of 2 John for our study tonight. 2 John, verse 1 through 3, from the New King James Version. The elder to the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. The entirety of our lesson will be taken from this third verse of this epistle. We might ask why it is that Satan works so tirelessly to get men to reject the reality of absolute truth. Because he is working around the clock 24/7 to get men to reject absolute truth. Secular philosophy denies the reality of absolute truth. Situation ethics rejects absolute truth. But here in 2 John and in verse 3, John gives us an explanation of why that is true. And it is because in truth we have access to God's gifts or God's blessings mentioned in this verse. Grace, mercy, and peace. That's why Satan works tirelessly to cause man to believe there's no such thing as absolute truth. Because all of God's blessings and all of God's gifts that he grants unto men comes in connection with God's truth, the Word of God. That's the source of truth. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So these blessings of grace, mercy, and peace come in connection with God's word, in connection with God's truth. The inspired scriptures as we have them, 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, means God breathed, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. These great blessings of grace, mercy, and peace are of God and they come from God. And they're now available to men in connection with truth. It is in God's truth we know about these great blessings and great gifts. And it is in God's truth that we have access to them. I wanted to look at these with you tonight. There are three points from this particular verse I want to note. First of all, we start out by looking at the blessings that are actually bestowed. That is grace, mercy, and peace. We understand what grace is. It's God's favor directed toward undeserving man. That is, man has not earned or merited God's favor, his grace in any way. As a matter of fact, if we thought we were worthy of something, a matter of God's grace, then we need to think again. We have not earned or merited God's favor directed toward us in any way. We've not done anything within our lives to cause God to look favorably upon us because of our sin. But God does favor us. He does show his favor to us in many different ways. In the giving of his Son, in the sacrifice of his Son on the cross for the sins of mankind, in the giving of the Word that reveals God's plan by which we can have the forgiveness of our sins. These things and many others are the actions of God's grace and favor directed toward man who is undeserving of it. Those who are saved from sin, of course, are saved by this favor, by this grace of God. Ephesians 2 and in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Yes, we're saved by the grace and favor of God. Now, the grace and favor of God covers many things, as I said. The grace and favor of God covers God's plan, even under the old law. That is, it was through his grace that the nation of Israel came to be a great and mighty nation in the land of Egypt. Then they were called out of the land of Egypt through God's grace. And it was by God's grace they were given a promised land. It was by God's grace that a Savior was going to come through them. All of these actions is by the grace of God. And so it is by the grace of God that we're saved. But it is by the grace of God that we're saved through faith. The grace or favor of God bestowed upon man is his part in our salvation, but faith, that is a faith that obeys, is man's part. But not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Salvation is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Man cannot boast, he cannot earn or merit this salvation. It simply comes through the grace of God and through the obedience of man's faith. And thus, saved by the grace of God, then we can stand. We can stand fast in the grace of God. We can remain steadfast. We can persevere. We can hold out. Romans 5 and in verse 1, Paul said, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand." That is, in which we stand fast, in which we persevere in which we persist in. We persist in the grace and favor of God and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So this blessing bestowed upon us is revealed for us that we have access to this grace in connection with the truth of God's Word. Another gift or blessing bestowed in this passage is that of mercy. We often define mercy as compassion and pity. But remember, we have further defined it as compassion and pity that is active, or compassion and pity that is put in action. We might have pity or compassion on one. It might be simply a feeling that we have toward them because we pity their condition and we have compassion for them, but we might not do anything about it. But if we do something about it, then it is mercy. God's mercy directed toward man is an action of His grace. God saved man by His grace. But God demonstrated that grace in His mercy. He did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. It's like exercising mercy or compassion toward one, like the one who was left for dead on the side of the road and the Samaritan came along. He was left for dead. He could not do anything for himself. Someone needed to have compassion on him. The Samaritan came along and showed compassion by acting on his behalf, acting in regard to his welfare physically. God acts in regard to our welfare spiritually through His act of mercy. Thus, it is said, not only that we're saved by the grace of God then, but by the mercy of God. Titus 3 and in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Yes, He had pity and compassion on us in our condition, lost in sin, but He acted on our behalf because we could not do anything about it. And His actions on our behalf is referred to then as mercy. It is in the truth, the Word of God, that is revealed and made known to us. This blessing of grace is bestowed upon us in that Word of truth. God moved with compassion. He moved with mercy and was merciful toward us in the forgiving us of our sins. Ephesians 2 and in verse 4, Paul said, "But God, who is rich in mercy..." He's abundant in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. "Even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Saved by mercy and saved by grace. God favored us and acted on our behalf. Thus we're saved by the mercy of God. And then He mentions another grace or blessing that comes in connection with truth, and that is peace. Peace. People can make peace with God, and the way they learn to make peace with God is in connection with the truth. Because through their sin, they're alienated and separated themselves from God. In Romans 5 and in verse 1, Paul said, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." Having been justified. To be justified means to be pronounced or declared righteous in the sight of God. So having been justified by faith, that is by an active, obedient faith, We now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we now have peace with God? Because in our sin, before we're justified, pardoned and forgiven of our sin, we're alienated and separated from God by our sin. But now, in Christ Jesus, we have peace with God because we've been reconciled to God. In Colossians 1 and in verse 21, Paul said, "And you who," note this, "who once were alienated," separated, cut off, enemies, you might say, "and enemies," he says, "in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." We were alienated and separated from God by our sins, cut off from him. We were actually an enemy. We were not on friendly terms with God. Yet now, note the "who once were," yet now he has reconciled. To be reconciled means simply to come on friendly terms again. And all of that took place, all of that took place in connection with truth, remember? So these blessings, grace, mercy, and peace, bestowed in connection with truth. Men in Christ Jesus are in a peaceful relationship now with God. Because in Christ Jesus, God has reconciled us to himself. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. God reconciled us to himself. Yes, we separated ourselves and alienated ourselves from God by our sin. But now God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. That is, through the death of Jesus Christ. And he has given us apostles in the context, the ministry of reconciliation, or the word of reconciliation later on in the text. Verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Know that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That prepositional phrase, "in Christ," just remove it for a minute. That God was reconciling the world to himself. Where? In Christ. And has committed to us apostles, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we come together with God again on friendly terms in Christ Jesus. And we know how we get in Christ. We're baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26, 27. So these blessings, these gifts bestowed, grace, mercy, and peace in connection with truth. Well, who is it that bestows these gifts? Who bestows these gifts? Grace, mercy, and peace. Who is it that gives us these gifts in connection with truth? Well, the verse tells us that these gifts come from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Now, this is one of those verses that we see that makes God the Father and God the Son equal. We see the deity of Christ here. Who could bestow grace, mercy, and peace from God except God? So these blessings of grace, mercy, and peace come from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. God in the text is called the Father because of his relationship to Christ in the text. Jesus, remember, is the only begotten Son of God. Here he is said to be the Son of the Father. The Son of the Father. Note that. The Son of the Father. There are many sons or children of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ is said to be the Son of the Father. So God is referred to in the Father in the text because of his relationship to the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. 1 John 5 and in verse 12, John says, "He who has," note this, "the Son, has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." In our study of 1 John 2 and 3, we know what it means to have the Son and to have the Father. It means to have fellowship with them, to be in a relationship with them. The one who has the Son has life. That is, the one who has fellowship with the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. If one does not have fellowship with the Son of God, he does not have life. That goes kind of to our text we studied this morning from the Gospel of John, does it not? John in verse 3, or John chapter 1 and verse 4, I think. In him was life. So in the Son is life. Life exists in the Son. And if one does not have fellowship with the Son, he does not have life. But the point I seek to make here is that God is called the Father in our text in 2 John 3 because of his relationship with Jesus Christ the Lord. He is the Son of God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So we see he is the Son. We are a Son of God, if we're children of God. But Jesus Christ is the Son. And he is said in John 3:16 to be the only begotten Son of God. The phrase "only begotten" is one word in the Greek. It means unique. One of a kind. One and only. That's the idea expressed in the word. He's different from all other sons or children of God. Because he is deity. He is God. He is no mere man. He is, in fact, the Christ of God. Brought out in our text, 2 John 3. These gifts of grace, mercy, and peace come from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, God's anointed one. Christ, the anointed. As Peter said on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." He is the anointed of God. He is God himself. He is deity. And the reality of God's blessings depend on the reality of Jesus being who he claimed to be. Think about that. These blessings of grace, mercy, and peace and their reality in our lives depend upon the reality of who Jesus claimed to be. If he is not the Son of God, how could he bestow, along with the Father, grace, mercy, and peace? If he is not the Son of God, if he is not deity, how could these blessings and gifts be revealed in the truth that he revealed in the Word of God? 2 John in verse 7. "Many deceivers have gone out in the world," note this, "who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh." This is a deceiver and antichrist. During this particular period of time, of course, having just studied this, we understand the deceivers and the antichrist under consideration were at one time Christians. So it's not that they didn't believe in Jesus of Nazareth. They believed in Jesus from Nazareth. They believed that he was a man who did live. But they later denied that he was in fact the Christ. Deity in flesh. But he is. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Yes, he is God's Son, and he is man's Savior. From God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. But God is also called the Father of those who are born again. And so he's referred to in our text as God the Father, not only because he's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he is the Father of those upon whom he bestows grace, mercy, and peace. 1 John 3 and in verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." He has bestowed grace, mercy, and peace upon us. And thus, it comes from our Father in heaven, because we are his children. 1 John 3 and in verse 9, "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." Whoever has been born of God, who is that? That's the child of God. Whoever has been born of God, remember that little preposition of, speaks of origin or source. Your origin or source is found in God. You're a child of God. You've been begotten of God. You come from God. He is your origin. He is your source. As you come from your earthly father, you come from God, your spiritual father. He is the origin or source of your being, your spiritual being. And the one who has been born of God does not sin, does not continue in sin, does not practice sin. Why? For his seed, that is his word, remains in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot go on practicing sin. Because there is no sin in God, there is no darkness in God. 1 John 1 and verse 5, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all, no sin in God, no darkness, no ignorance. And God's children ought to exhibit the character of God. Since there is no sin in God, and God does not sin, nor does he cause any man to sin, we ought not to go on practicing sin, engaging in sin, continuing in sin. We ought to exhibit the character of our Father, God himself. If God has the power to bring his Son into a sinful world, then he surely has the power to save us from this sinful world. And how does he do that? Well, in connection with the truth, in connection with the Word of God. Romans 1 and verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God," that is God's plan for making man righteous, "is revealed in the gospel." It's revealed from, out of a body of doctrine and teaching referred to as faith, to, in order to produce faith. And then he quotes from Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, "The just shall live by faith." Those who are justified by faith live, that is, they have life. Goes back to Romans 5 and verse 1. Having been justified by faith. What kind of faith? An obedient faith. The just, that is, those who are just or righteous in the sight of God, by an obedient faith, have life. So if God has the power to bring his Son into a sinful world, he has the power to save us from a sinful world. And he's able to do that through his word. Through his word indeed. God's power enables man to be saved from sin. Ephesians 2 and in verse 1. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich," note this, "in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it," salvation, "is the gift of God." Yes, God's power saves us from our sins, but God's power, that is his powerful word, can keep us saved. It can preserve us. The denominational world speaks of once saved, always saved. But they don't think the word has anything to do with keeping them saved, because obedience to it is not important to them. But in 1 Peter 1 and in verse 3 and following, Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Note verse 5, 1 Peter 1. "Who are kept by the power of God." We're kept by the power of God through some kind of miraculous power. We're kept or preserved in Christ Jesus by the power of God, by the word of God. Note that. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith." We're saved by the power of God. Romans 1, 16 and 17. We're saved by the gospel, but through faith. Through an obedience of faith. And through the word of God and obedience of faith, we can continue to be saved. We can be kept by that power, ready for salvation to be revealed in the last time. And then to our final point in our lesson, how are these gifts and these blessings of grace, mercy, and peace, how are they bestowed upon us? Well, we've said that before in our lesson already, in connection with truth. That's how they're bestowed. In connection with truth. There is no grace or favor directed toward you in your life from God in the bringing about the salvation of your soul without the truth, the Word of God. You'll not receive the mercy of God in the bringing about the forgiveness of your sins without an obedience of faith to the truth. So the means of bestowal of these gifts is in connection with the truth, the revealed Word of God. In James 1 and verse 18, "Of His own will He brought us forth by the Word of truth." James 1 and verse 21, "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul." You want to be a recipient of grace, mercy, and peace that comes from God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ? You can be a recipient through the truth, through God's Word. Truth purifies the soul, and it is the truth that purifies the soul and saves it. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold from your aimless conduct," knowing that you were not redeemed, liberated and set free from your sin. That's the idea in the word redeemed. You're not liberated and set free from your sins by corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's what liberated you and set you free from your sin. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. So Peter declared the reality of the redemption in the blood of Jesus Christ. He also declared the purification power of the blood of Jesus Christ. When he said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. Grass withers and the flower falls away, but the Word of God endures, the Word of the Lord endures forever." Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Yes, the truth is God's inspired word. And it is in connection with this truth that grace, mercy, and peace is bestowed upon you. But it is not only in connection with this truth. It is also in connection with love. Love. Grace, mercy, and peace, these gifts or blessings that come from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are bestowed in connection with the truth, that is, in connection with the Word of God, and they're bestowed in connection with love. Is that God's love for us? Well, it could be. But God loves all men. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes should have life in him. But because God loved the world, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to partake of his grace, mercy, and peace. Amen. In connection with truth. The love under consideration is our love for God and our love for truth lived out in our lives. So grace, mercy, and peace is bestowed upon children of God in connection with truth and in connection with their love, the kind of love that God commands them to exhibit in their life. 2 John and in verse 5 and 6. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is how we demonstrate our love. If we walk, behave, and conduct ourselves according to the commandments of God. So grace, mercy, and peace, these blessings and these gifts that we have access to, we have access to in connection with truth, in connection with the Word of God, and in connection with our love. Our love for God and obedience to his will. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that is, you have heard from the beginning, that we should walk in it. 1 John 5 and in verse 3, John said, and this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, they're not grievous. So love for God causes us to be obedient to God. And remember, it is faithful obedience that brings about the forgiveness of our sins. By grace you have been saved, through faith. Through an obedience of faith. What motivates that obedience of faith? It is love for God that motivates that obedience of faith. So we have access to these gifts in connection with truth, in connection with the Word of God, and in connection with our love for God. And that love for God is demonstrated in obedience to His Word. Jesus said that those who love Him would obey him. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love Christ, if you love God the Father, you will keep their word. You will keep their commandments. Love then becomes the motivating factor for obeying God's truth, wherein is revealed the way to obtain grace, mercy, and peace. Without the truth, there is no grace, mercy, and peace. Why is it Satan is working overtime to get us to believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth? Because when one believes there's no such thing as absolute truth, then he has given up God's blessings of grace, mercy, and peace. If God's word is not absolute truth, the one who believes that has abandoned any grace, mercy, and peace from God in his life. But if one does not love God enough to keep his commandments, he has also abandoned any hope of God's grace, mercy, and peace being bestowed upon him. Since all of these are available through Christ, and this is revealed in God's truth, then we must know the truth, we must believe the truth, and we must obey the truth. To those who love and obey God's truth, God will grant them, He will give them grace, mercy, and peace. The lesson is yours. I hope it will benefit you in the days ahead as you continue to meditate upon it and look at it. If you're here this night and you're not a Christian, our desire is that you would become one through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, He bestows His grace and mercy upon us this hour and grants us the opportunity to repent of that sin, confess that sin, and pray to Him that He will forgive us of it. And we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song selected.